The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
W229HE Atlanta, the most listened to sports station in the South. WCNN North Atlanta, a Dickey Broadcasting station. The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
All right, I've got to do a better job at the clock management. It's a poor job in the first couple of hours of the show. That's on me.
About the clock.
I'll do a better job. We got to hold on to our timeouts. Got to make sure in the two-minute drills we handle those. And I vow to get better over the course of the show. Chuck and Chernoff are on the Fan. That's FM at 93.7, AM at 680, and of course on our 680 The Fan mobile app. We're live at Smoke Jack Barbecue, 29 South Main Street in Alpharetta. Just a beautiful spot on a perfect Atlanta day. Love to have you stop on by here before 6 o'clock. We're here with our friends at Larceny's Small Batch Bourbon. Braves enjoying a day off. They're back home with the Rangers tomorrow night, so we'll look forward to that. The 4 o'clock hour of our show is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows. Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. They're Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. We are down to 1 week worth of Doc McChuckin's visits. We're going to be sadly saying goodbye to the Doc at the end of next week, but not yet. Doc will be making a house call here in just a couple of moments. What can we look forward to?
Day three pick who underappreciated for one specific reason.
All right, we'll get to that coming up. Now, we are officially 1 week from the draft. And lying season has been going on for a while, so anything you read or hear, take it with a grain of salt. This one, though, that I'm going to read you guys, feels borderline reckless. So I don't know if people have seen the story about Texas receiver, former Georgia receiver A.D. Mitchell. According to the Bob Ginn coaching or scouting breakdown, McGinn does this every year. He's been doing it forever. He writes, A.D. Mitchell is almost uncoachable, and his issue is his blood sugar. Now, to call someone uncoachable is about the biggest insult you can, but here's the rest of the story. He writes, you're going to have to assign somebody to be next to Mitchell for the first few years because his issues are all about his diabetes and his blood sugar. When his blood sugar's off, he's rude, abrasive, and doesn't pay attention in meetings. It's why you get really, really ishy character, cleaned up the potty mouth word, those reports coming out of both Georgia and Texas. Now, McGinn might be right, might be talking to people we don't know. I don't remember hearing any of this stuff about character or attitude or uncoachable. And I mean this respectfully. There are certain Georgia reporters that we know very well that I think are very clued in, and this is the first I'm hearing this. All I'm saying is the timing is very convenient 1 week before, that it's potentially coming from a team who likes AD, wants him to drop a spot, or somebody else who has another client who wants to see their client move up. I'd feel very, very comfortable saying I just don't know if I buy any of this a week that it comes out before the draft.
He's a first-round talent, and that's where I think he's going to wind up being selected. When he left Athens, and I'm trying to remember this, I think I'm right on this, that asked the guys, like, what's the deal with AD? What's the thought on him? Because he's leaving. So, you know, just what's the review? And it was Kirby, nobody there really cares that he's leaving. Fine, leave. We'll get somebody else. Most of that was because we're Georgia and we can get somebody else, but that he was like the uber receiver. Like everything you think about a receiver and his mindset about me and my touches and all that, like he was uber about that, which I was like, I don't care anything about that. I didn't hear that in Texas. In fact, he swore if I'm healthy and I get my opportunities, I'll produce. Well, he was healthy and he got some opportunities and he produced. I like A.D. Mitchell a lot.
Here's one more quote from the McGinn scouting piece. Quote, before you even get to the diabetic part, he's going to have to kind of do it his way. He's a little bit more of a wild horse. You've got to see if you can harness him. And then once you do that, he doesn't address the diabetic stuff in a mature way. He's a very boom or bust type of guy.
Okay, he wouldn't be the first college kid with diabetes who didn't do that responsibly. I don't know. Get him an insulin pump if it helps. If that's one, I don't know anything about him. And, hell, HIPAA, we probably shouldn't. But this is something to be concerned with because it's not just – like, what were some of the words he gets – So uncoachable and all?
He described him as uncoachable. When his blood sugar's off, he's rude, abrasive, doesn't pay attention to meetings,
yeah,
and has
probably,
really, really bad character.
Reports came
out of Texas and Georgia. I didn't hear any of that out of Georgia. Doesn't mean I'm saying it's not there. I didn't hear any of that
stuff.
If
he's having a low blood sugar, he doesn't have bad character. He's having a low blood sugar. He's getting sweaty, and he needs some Gatorade, and he probably needs to sit down, and he's lethargic. Like, I don't understand how you can say he's got bad character.
See, well, you can say anything because you can't prove that. It wasn't true.
That's based on that, I don't
correct.
See how.
The issue we live is the same problem about all the media stuff. You can't tell because it's an unnamed scout, whether it's coming from a scout, an agent, somebody else's team, another play. Who knows? The problem is it's so reckless that you're putting this stuff out a week before the draft and it's getting talk everywhere that, well, you heard about AD and that's what happens now. Somebody will go secondhand. I was listening to the radio. Did you guys hear about AD? Uncoachable. No. I'm just telling you, you guys, that's what's being said. I don't know if I believe it at all, but we haven't heard ish about this for 2 or 3 years, and now 7 days before the most important moment in his life, it's out there.
I want to say it doesn't
believe
matter.
It at your own risk.
I want to say that it doesn't matter, and the scouts and the pro personnel guys, they'll do their own evaluation, and they will. This stuff does. There is a history of we hear things. You and I hear things.
Sure.
We don't try to hear things.
But I hear things from people that I trust that are close to, because I'm not close to that stuff, so I turn to people that I trust.
Absolutely, and folks. People who should know, there are times when issues come out and there start to be cocked eyebrows before the draft and then the guy falls. I don't know if the cocked eyebrow is warranted or not. I just know that there are times where we have all picked up that Laramie Tunsil's just a bad guy. And, I mean, it's not always going to be as blatant as a video with a gas mask. You hear that stuff all the – you know what the exception is? Like, Lael Collins – didn't the police have to say, yeah, somebody got dead and we're talking to Lael about it?
Days before the draft.
Other than that, I'm not as interested in, like, this last-minute stuff. He's been gone for 3 years out of high school. I've had plenty of time to figure it out.
I am interested in the Braves inaugural golf classic. It's coming to the Atlanta Athletic Club, the championship course on May 6th that all benefits the Atlanta Braves Foundation. Now, it's going to be a four-person scramble format that will feature on-course contests, prizes for the winning teams, and a unique gift for every golfer. You guys will enjoy breakfast if you play, lunch, and a post-round award ceremony, plus food and cocktails, and a chance to see some of your favorite Braves legends along the way. To get your foursome, and for all the info, go to braves.com/golfclassic. Again, that's braves.com/golfclassic.
Dr. McChuckins.
Time for your checkup, time for your checkup.
I'm gonna check your ears, check your eyes, find out how much you've grown.
Time for your checkup.
It's okay if you giggle.
Ha ha ha.
This will only tickle a little.
Time for your checkup, time for your checkup.
Day three pick coming out of the SEC, kid named Bo Lemmer. Bo spelled the long way, like the Cajun way. Bo Lemmer from Arkansas, and actually kid out of Tyler, Texas. Played at Arkansas, stayed at Arkansas, and played, when I say played at Arkansas, played a bunch. Was a freshman in 2019, and that was pre-COVID, before we realized you didn't really have to work angles, that basically the NCAA will, oh yeah, you tell us how much you would like to play and for how long, you can just stay in college. Well, that was the pre-COVID where you could remember the new provision about you could play four games and it didn't count as a full year. Well, he played those four. Next year he started, and he wound up starting 41 games on the interior of the offensive line in the SEC. Not for a great program, for a good enough program, and they had some success. He's playing for Sam Pittman, so he got good coaching. But out of the 41 starts, the majority are at center. Come back to that in a second. He started 11 games at right guard, started a couple at left guard. So he's got guard center flexibility, but specifically on the right side. I think he is a day three pick, and I think he's a center in the NFL. Now, why I say he's going to be underrated for one reason, he is off. He's kind of average on the strength, and you know, when you evaluate his technique, he's average on a lot of things. He's off the charts when it comes to athleticism. In fact, it's one of the higher rated, if you're going to assign him to center and not guard, one of the highest rated on the athleticism scales from the combine, like their official stuff that you can find, and he displayed that at Arkansas as well. When I say he is probably a center, he's better in run blocking, and part of that is getting out to the next level and chasing down a linebacker and getting on the move and things like that, which some teams want to do with the center. But he's going to have a little bit more difficulty as a pass blocker. Well, at center, you got help on both sides. You don't have help at guard a lot of times because the tackle, believe me, he's got his hands full. Put a guy at center who's fine in run blocking, really athletic, can get to the second level in the run game. Pass blocking, we need to protect him a little bit with a couple of guards. I think Bo Lemmer is going to be a pretty good day three pick.
Had a chance to hang out with the good folks at First Horizon Bank today with Dale Murphy. And First Horizon Bank, along with Double Play ATL, are teaming up to give back. They're going to be helping collect new and gently used baseball and softball equipment to then give to local teams and organizations in need. So here's what you want to do. Join the 643 show with Dylan Short live and bring your new or gently used baseball or softball equipment to Sandy Plains Baseball at Harrison Park. I know that place very well. Coming up this Saturday, April 20th, between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Each person who donates will receive a free car wash. Compliments of our friends at Tidal Wave Auto Spa. It's all brought to us by First Horizon Bank and Tidal Wave Auto Spa. So make sure you bring it out Saturday morning, 9 to 11. Dylan's doing a show live,
short,
9 to 11.
Fat Dill?
That's not what we want to go with.
He's
that's
terrible.
It's unnecessary. Domino, my manager,
but
it's unnecessary.
Terrible.
He just jerks. Piling on that poor little fat.
The name
Dylan.
Calling is unattractive.
It's not. It's
rattle,
not a good look.
Rattle.
My goodness. All right, coming up, this is a statement about the Braves. I didn't think I'd make it any point this season, but I'll make it next.
Barbra Streisand.
Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Thursday afternoon. We're on the fan, meaning FM is happening. It's a thing today at 93.7. AM is still going at 680, and of course, our 680 The Fan mobile app. You got to have that thing. Anytime you need it, locally, traveling, nationally, internationally, that beat travels. Make sure you download the 680 The Fan mobile app and take it with you.
Beat.
We are live all afternoon long at Smoke Jack Barbecue, and I am peeping the menu right now with so many right answers. I've said this many times, like, whatever I decide, whether it's brisket, whether it's pulled pork, chicken, what have you, the sides are going to make or break any good barbecue spot, and I'm overwhelmed by the choices.
It's got grains, got mac and cheese. Got.
I'm looking at mac and cheese, I'm looking at the baked beans with bacon, corn pudding, Brunswick stew.
It's all strong.
Coleslaw.
It is.
So that'll be, in case you're keeping score at home, Matt will be ordering at some point. You could be ordering, too. Out here today, Smoke Jack Barbecue in Alpharetta, 29 South Main Street. Come on by till 6 o'clock here with our friends with Larceny Small Batch Bourbon. I hope you guys are keeping up with what's happening on social media with this station as we introduce you to things like 680 The Fan Girl, our brand-new social media sports content tailored to the ladies. It's a little less X's and O's and more lifestyle-driven sports content. It's the 680 The Fan Girl. The pages are curated expressly for our 680 The Fan female listeners. Become a 680 The Fan Girl today. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok to keep up with
on
all
the
things.
Gram.
If you would like, Buck, yes, that's a good way to say it. All right, coming up here in just a couple of moments, NIL has turned previously tricky math into a giant opportunity.
Number one, number four, number 10, number 13.
At least for the well-funded. We'll get to that coming up in a moment. But first, this is a statement that I never thought I would make this season, and it probably won't hold true in 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, whatever. How funny or, I don't know, complimentary to Alex Anthopoulos is it that if I said this, if the playoffs were to begin today, Ronaldo Lopez is the Braves' opening day starter in the postseason. He's the game one starter. It's not even a debate today. Like, that's how well he's throwing the ball. And before you laugh, there was a time not that long ago where a guy named Chris Medlin came out of nowhere and at one point started a wild card game, and then the next season started against the Dodgers in the best of a five series, and Chris Medlin wasn't on anybody's radar when those seasons began.
Yeah, he went like 10-1 with an ERA of 0.7 over the second half 1 year.
Well, he was unbeaten for like 18 starts in a row or something.
Silly.
I'll give you even one that's more out of left field. You guys remember the name Jarrett Wright, who the Braves picked up as a scrap heap guy? Yeah, he was a reliever at that point in his career that the Braves gave some late innings to, and then the next year he came to spring and all of a sudden works his way in, and he was a game one starter in the playoffs. Now, likelihood is that Max will be Max and he'll get it settled and Max will be game one starter. And it's so long from now. It's April. It's silly to have the conversation, but I couldn't get over it the other day when I was thinking, well, Ronaldo's been your best starter at this point. Chris Sale's been your second best starter. Max right now slots in at 3, and it's a debate with him and Charlie Morton. And now with Spencer out, I don't know what Lopez's season is going to look like from here, but I'll say this much. Dude is filthy. He misses bats. And so far, the experiment of making him a starter, he's been 6 innings a start. And if you're the Braves and you get 6 innings, I mean, just roll it out after that and be like, okay, here comes Pierce Johnson, or here comes Joe Jimenez, or if I want to go left side, I go A.J. Minter or Tyler Matzik, and I get the ball to Iggy in the 9th inning. It's been a joy to watch that guy deliver so far through 3 starts.
I'm going to go old school, too. I'm going to talk about baseball without invoking money. He has been the rock, and even in bad weather, on the road, against his old team, like throw anything out there, home in bad weather, against apparently baseballs that are harder than ever to grip, and he's pitching better than he ever has. Again, he throttled down, too. Coming out of the pen, he's averaging 12 or so Ks per 9. He averages about 8 earlier in his career as a starter. Guess where he is right now? He's pitching the most effective baseball. He's about 8.
Well, he's been
a stud.
But he's also been economical.
Yeah.
The swing and miss is there, but he's getting through these starts in an economical fashion.
But you just can't pitch the same when you come in for the 7th or 8th inning and get to throw gas for 6 batters.
It's April 18th. It's funny that I'm even having this conversation, but if it was to begin today, my number 1 and number 2 would be Lopez, then Sale. Then I would think about Max in Game 3 and Morton in Game 4. Now, it's probably not going to be the case by the time we get to the end of September, but it's a compliment to how well Ronaldo Lopez has handled this assignment. And Alex Anthopoulos very early, looking very smart yet again. All right, coming up, I know this decision would rub some Falcon fans the wrong way.
Want to rub me for luck?
I know this much, I'd love it. I'll share this decision with you coming up. But first, we know NIL is all about them dollars, and it's previously turn tricky math into a giant opportunity. What's the op?
Yeah, if you got fat stacks like LSU, for instance. I was mentioning earlier, Brian Kelly, he just got blatant with it. Need tackles, defensive tackles specifically, Baton Rouge. He said, we are only attacking one position in the portal when it opens on April 16th, only defensive tackles. And so he just rang the dinner bell, basically. It's like, if you're a D tackle and you want to get paid, we got a strong collective in Red State. Well, he was quizzed, though, because there is this little matter, man. You have scholarship limitations. And LSU, of course, they have the 85 that if you're at full strength with the NCAA, you get 85. They've got those. But he was quizzed because the program right now, there's a little question about one kid, but they're either 88 right now or possibly 89. Now, in the era of the portal, this was on Tuesday when he was talking, it should be irrelevant because plenty enough will portal out, you think, and you'll get under. There are exceptions. Remember when Jeff Collins showed up in Atlanta? One of his surprises was after about a month, he was like, wait a minute, the kids aren't leaving. They're like, do you know how many guys are like a semester or two from graduating with a degree from Georgia Tech? It's like the degree actually worked against Jeff Collins. Like, these kids ain't leaving. So sometimes you get pinched there. That can't happen. But for the most part at LSU, you've got a 4-star who looked around. He's like, I'm supposed to be playing. I'm all late. And you want to add like 3 more guys from the portal. So you're at least 4 over, and you still want to add. So what do if no one leaves? You don't want those bad stories. We've seen them. A kid shows up in August, and the coach says, hey, there's this thing called gray shirt. Can you come back in January? Or you can go this semester. I had to pay for it yourself. But then you'll be
on. What, that last part you slept in?
So, yeah, we've seen all of these horrible stories.
Just said it like the car salesman. Listen, I can get it for you right now, but, you know, there's going to be a balloon payment at the end.
And you have to pay right now, but you can't come on campus if you choose, and you can't practice with us. That was previously, you would have to figure ish out because nobody ever played with 86 guys on scholarship. Not one time. You just couldn't do it. today at LSU, even if not one kid leaves, they can turn to their collective and say, hey, we're four kids over. We need 140 grand. And you're saying, what's 140 grand? Roughly $35,000 per year for in-state tuition and related expenses times four. Guess what that equals? You just got four extra scholarship players.
All the dollars.
I have given the kudos on air. This hustle is straight out of Provo. Mm-hmm. That is right. Brigham Young came up with this first. July 21 is when name, image, likeness could happen. BYU decided that day, if you are a walk-on that the coaching staff has evaluated as we're going to let you practice, you're on full scholarship. The Royal Blue Collective at BYU has been doing this for 3 years, and some of the big boys are catching on now. Now, there's some ramifications here. First of all, I can have all the scholarship players I want. The Royal Blue this past August when they announced, because they have a little list of name, image, likeness deals that everybody on scholarship gets. They include the self-funded scholarships. You know how many players BYU had on full scholarship this past year? 123. Not the 85 you're supposed to. And so now programs looking around going, all right, F this. We got to do something to level the playing field. So now it's gone to the ultimate name, image, likeness deal. We're picking up your scholarship. Now, the big ramification, because BYU, they don't normally find themselves in Dutch with the NCAA. Here's the ultimate flex. Hey, USC or LSU or Florida or whoever, we're the NCAA. We're going to take 10 scholarships a year from you for each of the next 3 years. It crippled USC to the point that they went through two coaches because of that, and it wrecked the program, which is what they wanted to do because they looked at what Pete Carroll did and was like, well, he left just before we got to town. We got to punish somebody. How are you going to punish LSU now or USC or Ohio State or anybody else? We're taking away scholarships, really, because we're funding scholarships. Yeah.
This is a problem when you're trying to do all this stuff in reverse. Like, you know, this is the – it's so funny. This is so college football and so NCAA. And so we sped down the highway at 100 miles an hour, and now we're trying to put the brakes on after everybody's already been given carte blanche to do whatever they want.
Credit to BYU. It's a hustle, and they figured it out.
Good for them. You know what you're doing? Gaming the system.
And so the idea now is the LSU – because the question was put to Brian Kelly, and he didn't seem very concerned about it. The idea now was that, you know, we're going to have some extra kids on scholarship, so that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you guys will go check it. I'm looking at Atlanta Sports Trips website right now at atlsportstrips.com, and I also see the date. We're 2 months away from Father's Day. So if you want to start planning, you've given Dad enough crap, ties and, yard
Fruit
equipment.
By Fabergé.
Which, you know what, you want to give him an experience. Whether you want to send Dad on the road to see a college football game or a baseball game, or you want to send yourself and your son or your dad, atlsportstrips.com is the place to go. Really cool deals on a couple of college football trips that we've been promoting. Georgia's going to Texas in Austin. Georgia's going to Tuscaloosa to face Alabama. You can get our full trip package, or you can go on there now and see that you can get tailgate only. You can get tailgate plus our Friday night football party. Those combos are there for you. And for the baseball fans, yes, Atlanta's hometown team is headed to L.A. to face the Angels. We have a great package up. Three-night hotel stay, tickets to the game to see Atlanta against Anaheim, the L.A. Angels of Anaheim, on August 17th, plus a VIP meet-and-greet brunch on Saturday morning, a tour of the stadium, transfers to and from the hotel to the stadium, and a one-day park hopper ticket to Disneyland. See all this stuff. I'm not even doing it justice. Go to atlsportstrips.com. Make sure you get yourself one of these great Father's Day gifts. It's the gift that keeps on giving. atlsportstrips.com. So, of course, it is mock draft overload right now, and they're everywhere. You turn to the left, there's a mock. To the right, there's a mock. You can't escape them. They're going to eat you, the mock draft. Well, I saw one mock that had the Falcons taking Dallas Turner, which is not a surprise. Mock drafts have got Dallas Turner to the Falcons everywhere. But in this specific mock, Dallas Turner went 8 and Malik Nabers went 9. Malik went 9 to the Bears. And there was a lot of pushback, as you can imagine, from those on social media of get the best player. It's Malik Nabers, another star to add to the wide receiver room in the offense. So let's take a step back on this for a second. Let's say that Malik Nabers is a better player than Dallas Turner. Let's say it's by a decent amount, right? So let's start at the place of Dallas Turner's good. Malik Nabers is really, really good. I would still take Dallas Turner over Malik Nabers. Because at some point, like, let's say you add Malik Nabers to this group. The same people screaming, you invested in Drake, you got to get him the ball. And you invested in Kyle, he's got to get his touches. And we invested in Bijan, got to get him his touches. So let's start at the rookie season for Malik Nabers. Chuck, give me some numbers, and let's say Malik's really good. What does Malik do offensively next season for the Falcons, ballpark numbers?
For a really good rookie receiver?
Mixed in with the other pieces that we keep saying you have to get them the ball.
63 catches for 800 yards.
Well, that sounds great. That's Julio-esque.
Four touchdowns.
Julio had something like that his rookie season. Now I'll ask you, how many snaps a game do you think Dallas Turner plays? If the defense is on the field for 50 snaps a game or 45 snaps.
That's a young man with young legs.
He's playing 90%
of
the snaps.
Hell yes.
Okay. See, this is my point, that as much as Malik Nabers would be a blast in a glass, he'd be fun to watch. And let's say again that Malik reaches a ceiling of a great football player. He's 85 to 90 catches a year. He's 1,100-plus yards. He gets in the end zone seven times. Those are phenomenal numbers. But if you want to break him down per game, you're saying Malik Nabers ends up being five catches a game, and in 17 games, that's 64 yards a game. Now, some games will be big and gaudier numbers, some might not. I still want the snaps out of Dallas Turner. Even if Dallas is just good, and I'll put a number on it, let's say Dallas Turner 7 or 8 sacks a season. He's solid against the run. He's never a Pro Bowler. He's never a superstar. But he's solid, 7, 8 sacks a season, and he plays 90% of the snaps. I'll take the lesser player in Dallas Turner because that bleeping need is so important that if you keep ignoring it, and it would be great to add Malik Nabers, at some point you're going to realize at the end of games we're reliving the past of, oh yeah, we can't get off the field. Whether that was last season, 2014, 2007, it's the same thing. I'll take the lesser player because I think he'll mean more by playing more snaps and can be more impactful. As good as Malik Nabers is, you're still going to try to mix him in with all these other pieces.
If you care about this, and that wide receiver, here's the funny thing. I don't necessarily care if he's a diva or whatever else. Hell, go be a receiver. That's kind of what they do. If you care about this, ask somebody who was around Malik literally every day that kid's been in Baton Rouge, and he said there was – because about the – you said the attitude problem has now surfaced
for AD.
Malik Nabers.
Well, I heard that one a couple of weeks ago. AD's when we talked about it. Yes. There was one that popped up that AD – or that Malik has
– an attitude character or whatever, and the guy's like, not one thing ever. He had – in Mardi Gras, he got cited for possession of a gun. It was licensed. It was his. And he was like, but you're not supposed to have it here. He's like, okay. Other than that, he's like, Chuck, that guy came back. He didn't transfer. He didn't gripe. He didn't. Yeah. He's like, never one thing about that kid. And so here's the – now, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I'd never heard anything about it, and that guy seemed to confirm it. I don't necessarily care if it is true within reason. Now, help me remember, who was it that beat Steven Davis? Was that Michael?
Bryant Westbrook? Michael Westbrook? Michael Westbrook.
There was a receiver with Washington about 20 years ago.
Big dude.
And he had a reputation of he'll jaw and he'll get under your skin or whatever. Well, he and one of the running backs are going at it, and he said, yeah, I'm just going to drop you right here on the practice field. As long as you're not doing that, I don't care if you're a wide receiver and you got an attitude problem or whatever else. Go out and ball, and you kind of can live with that. But I don't even think Malik actually has that. So he looks like a pretty dang perfect prospect.
I think the world of Malik Nabers.
I'd rather have the pass rusher.
Sure, exactly. And at some point, you got to do it.
But I'm not dinging Malik Nabers on anything. That kid looks like he's going to be fabulous.
I agree. This is nothing negative against Malik.
I just need to hit quarterbacks.
Yeah, if I think Malik is a stud, I'm still taking what I believe is a little bit of a lesser player at a position. If I have Malik on my board at 7, but I've got Dallas at 9, I'm taking Dallas because I need at some point to find answers over there, and I can't just keep putting it off and telling the media and the fans, well, this was the player rated higher on our
board. And this is the funny thing. Some people may say, well, what about Dallas Turner and his character and his attitude? And I was like, why? Because he hits people just a little tiny amount, just like really as the whistle is stopping late. I don't care about that.
No, you actually want that.
Hell yes.
It's not about
like
caring
that.
About that. I want him to be a little off center. I want him to be a little nuts and a little bit, you got to control
enjoy
yourself.
Some, you know, just splattering some guy.
A little bit, yep, that's the fun. All right, coming up, a super excited response from one major leaguer last night was 100% appropriate. And Chuck says that's unfortunate.
Oh, he's dead now?
He didn't die.
I didn't know he was dead.
No car accident? Nothing? No. We'll tell you why it's unfortunate next. Chuck and Chernoff are on the fan, and what just happened during the break was overwhelming.
You were dilemma.
I really was. We're live here in Alpharetta at Smoke Jack Barbecue, and I'm surveying the menu because I have to make the right choice. I am one, if I don't order correctly, I will not live with myself for hours after. So I said, all right, I can go so many ways, right? Like brisket looks great. The pulled pork, I mean, just smoked sausage. It just all looks good. Then I said to Chuck, I wouldn't do it because I'm here for barbecue, but they have this blackened tuna with sriracha mayo.
I'm sure they do a fantastic job because great. That's what they do on just about everything, but you'd be cheating yourself here.
So I did, good. I did my my order, my entree, and then I said, would it be gluttonous if I do this homemade pimento cheese with flatbread?
It would be, but you've been gluttonous before.
I've not been shy about being gluttonous.
You don't need a roadmap to find gluttony.
You guys can enjoy gluttony with us here. Smoke Jack Barbecue all day long with Larceny Small Batch Bourbon. We're here until 6 o'clock, 680 Rewind. We'll get it cranked up after that, giving you all the moments you might have missed throughout the day on The Fan. A super excited response from one big leader last night was 100% appropriate, but Chuck says it's unfortunate. Are you going to be no fun guy?
No. Here is a quote from a major leaguer last night, post-game. It was great. This is something I'll always remember. And he was excited. He was beaming, as a matter of fact. That was Tanner Houck. He is in his fifth big league season. He's a vet. And he threw a shutout. It was his first. It was his first complete game. Bob Gibson threw 8 shutouts in June and July of one season. But that's not real, and we all know that. So let's use someone who is.
That's how it was back in my day.
No, that was 1968.
Oh, that was before my day.
So,
my dad's day.
So exactly, and he's Bob Gibson. So 8 shutouts in 2 months, that's not real. Let's use someone who is, and from modern time and our – Charlie Liebrandt, he was a good pitcher. Do you
he's
agree?
That yeah,
he
solid.
A fine, solid pitcher.
I bet he lasted 15 years.
A real comparison from modern times. He had 52 complete games and 18 shutouts. And I don't think when he was a 22-year-old rookie with the Reds, when he threw 5 complete games and 2 shutouts as a rookie, he didn't declare it was great and something he would always remember. So it was Houck's response here. See, it was correct to want the baseball and have the catcher sign it. I don't know, go Dairy Queen or whatever you do afterwards.
Oh.
Truth is, he may never have another complete game in his career, possibly. He almost certainly will never throw another shutout. We think of Charlie Morton as durable, go to the post every fifth day for years and even a decade now. Give him the pitch, wind him up, he'll start a game. He's in his 17th big league season. He's got 3 complete games.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you one example here, okay? Jared Jones the other night.
Love him. Who is that?
Young stud for the Pirates.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks.
22 years old, rookie, just came up.
Love that guy.
He's the next guy for him. Tuesday night, he threw 5 innings, 1 hit, no walks, no runs. They took him out. He had thrown 59 pitches, Matt. 50 were strikes.
Oh, wow.
And they
That's efficient.
And they took him out. So basically they told him, no matter how good you are, you're coming out because we've got you at 60 pitches.
He was on a 60-pitch limit, yep.
Tanner Houck is 6'5", 230 pounds. He doesn't fatigue after 110 pitches. He threw 96 last night. And they told him, if you would have gotten to 100, we would have taken you out. There was a thing. You know this because you heard it when it was invented. And it's kind of cool because I'm a Braves fan. There's something called a Maddox. If you throw a complete game shutout in fewer than 100 pitches.
And in 2 hours and 2 minutes.
It's called a Maddox.
Yep.
They told him, basically, you have to do what put Greg Maddox in the Hall of Fame to stay in the game long enough to get a shutout. If you go past 100 pitches, you don't get to stay in the game. So you have to throw a Maddox.
No.
Major League franchises have effed up pitching. It's the organization's fault, all of them.
So I agree, but I also think they're effed up by the time they get there. The pitchers are effed up at that. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking on your arm, your elbow, and your shoulder by the time you throw your first pitch in the bigs. It was what I told you. I hosted an event with Dale Murphy today with First Horizon Bank, and Murph talked about, he said, there's a re-education that has to happen at that level. And I don't know if that even would work if the major leaguers came down and talked to every travel, every rec, every high school league, and said, here's what we need to change. And he referenced Greg Maddox. And he said Maddox became the pitcher he was when he realized, I can throw it 75% most of the time because I'm good enough to get guys out. And then the other times when I need to ramp up, I can ramp up. Nobody knows how to do that. That's the re-education by the time they get to pitch in pro ball that they would have that going for them instead of redlining it at every chance. And then you get to the bigs and you know you have a pitch limit.
Treat it like you get on 400, you just floor it.
That's exactly right. Chuck's got a college football today here in a moment. What can we look forward to?
All right, growth. You're going to be proud of me.
All right.
Because I was going to say Mississippi State, but you're like, you would say don't put that in the tease,
well,
right?
You just gave it a – okay.
No, hang on, because this is better.
Oh, yeah.
This SEC program normally has two settings, and the current isn't the best one.
All right, we'll get to that after I remind you our 4 o'clock hour is presented by Entry Point Doors and Windows. They're Atlanta's local expert for entry doors and windows. Atlanta's best for a reason. Go to entrypointatlanta.com for a free estimate. Reminder to Braves fans all over Georgia, you can now take part in the Braves 50-50 raffle with the Atlanta Braves Foundation, whether you're in the park or you're just around the state of Georgia. It's all presented by Harrah's Cherokee Casinos. For the first time ever, jackpots will be open during Braves home and road series throughout this season for fans at Truist or listening anywhere in Georgia. Raffles will conclude with one lucky winner taking home 50% of the jackpot and the other 50% going to the Braves Foundation. You can enter in person at Truist, like always, or online. You must be physically located in the state of Georgia when you enter. For the complete rules and details and to purchase your 50-50 raffle tickets online, go to Braves.com/5050 or visit the MLB Ballpark app while in Georgia.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today.
Good to be the king.
Presented by Roof It Forward. When your roof needs to be repaired or replaced, call the roofing company that supports Camp Sunshine. Together, we can roof it forward.
Goals-wise, I'm talking. This SEC program, Mississippi State.
Oh.
Normally has two settings when it comes to goals, and the current isn't the best of the two. Mississippi State has its spring game over the weekend, and they've got other things planned, and they want everybody to come out, and they say the weather may kind of bounce things around a little bit, but they've got stuff planned in addition to the game like everybody's doing now. But the difference with Mississippi State is Jeff Lebby is a brand-new head coach, not just to Mississippi State, but to being a head coach. And there is normally a, I'll say, pressure. Kirby even. I don't say pressure, but you really would like folks to see your DNA. And Kirby showed up, and that's when the 93K day. I want this place packed, and I want to just blow it out for recruits. And so that was what they wanted. And you got to see, okay, that's what Kirby's about. So there's a little bit more for Jeff Lebby, especially when you're what? You're known as an offensive guru, and you're going to be calling the plays anyway, and it's you, 100% your offense, etc. Well, part of the issue that has gotten my attention over the last 4 months since he got the job is Jeff Lebby, former offensive coordinator, not at Mississippi State, but he was at Ole Miss. He was in the state. He was in the conference. He was at Oklahoma. He's got history. You knew who Jeff Lebby was and why he had gotten the job, offense, offense, offense. He shows up. First thing that happens with the program, almost every skill position player bolts. Will Rogers completed more passes than any SEC quarterback in history. He's got a year of eligibility left. He's like, yeah, I'm leaving. They lost. They're an SEC program that lost the portal at running back somehow. Woody Marks, an Atlanta kid from Carver, who I love and can catch the ball as well. He's like, yeah, USC, I got one more season left. I'm going to go out there. Wide receiver, out and gone all over the SEC and beyond. And one kid, Justin Robinson, still kind of looking for a landing spot. But he's like, yeah, it's not going to be Mississippi State. So that is the one thing that has surprised me, how few of the offensive skill. Now, there are plenty of guys that a new coaching staff shows up and says, yeah, why don't we reach an understanding? And that happens even before the portal. That's not the case in all of these, or even most of them at Mississippi State. They've replaced him, and it's been handpicked, and Blake Shapen, I'm sure, is going to do a fine job from Baylor. He doesn't look like an all-time record setter in the SEC, and that may be what this offense needs. So, like I said, it's a spring game over the weekend. It's sketchy if you can tell a lot from these, and in most cases, with Jeff Lebby, because he's a first-time head coach, and he's minded, expect to see a little bit more revealed, you hope.
Chuck Oliver's College Football Today, presented by Roof It Forward on the College Football Voice of the South, The Fan.
It seems 5 is the magic number this season for the Braves.
I got a magic.
We'll share why 5 matters so much. Plus, if this is true, the GOAT never had a shot in Atlanta.
They should be shot.
We'll cover that. And an on-site report from the Hawks play-in watch party. Oh, I can't wait to hear all about it next.
Back in your hole, intern.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.